Best American Sports Writing 2014 is, like the earlier collections in the series, magnificently eclectic. There are stories about basketball players and football players, of course, but there's also a story about a one-legged wrestler, and there's one about a backgammon hustler. Joining me is the series editor for Best American Sports Writing, Glenn Stout. Glenn, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Bill.
And this volume's guest editor is Christopher McDougall. He's joining us as well. Christopher, welcome.
Thank you, Bill.
Perhaps the most unlikely story in the book is titled, You Can Only Hope to Contain Them. Christopher, tell us about that one.
You know, I loved that story from the headline onward. I think it was just what I loved about it was it's one of those stories hiding in plain sight. It's one of these sports revolutions that has changed the lives of millions of people. It has changed the landscape of modern American sports. It's all because of somebody had a clever idea with a piece of fabric.
Well, you have created a certain amount of suspense here. You better tell our listeners what that fabric, in fact, contains.
The sports bra. The sports bra. You know, with the advent of the sports bra, suddenly things which were really uncomfortable for many athletes are now comfortable. So suddenly you have women in mixed martial arts. You have women doing endurance sports, things which they might have felt prohibited from in the past. Suddenly, doors open because someone created a great sports bra.
This volume contains lots of stories about people trying to con each other, and one especially powerful con job gone wrong is evident in Tomato Can Blues, which Mary Pallon wrote for the New York Times. Glenn, what's the appeal of that story?
Well, you know, I'm always kind of drawn to stories that have a little bit of a sleight of hand in them, where you kind of think you're getting one thing and then you get another. And, you know, that's what this story is. You know, it's the story of this mixed martial arts guy. Then this one just takes this entire sideways turn and almost turns into a true crime story where you end up with the guy essentially faking his own death and hiding in his own apartment. And then that she also kind of frames it and puts it in kind of a real traditional context is the kind of thing that, you know, it's hard to resist a story like that.
It's one of those stories that technically it's a sports story because the character at the center of it is a kind of athlete. But then it's not really a sports story at all, is it?
Yeah, well, I think that holds true to almost every story in this book almost every year. Mm. There's sports stories, but there are stories about other things, too. And when they're really successful, you hardly even notice that they're about sports.
Obviously, we have time only to discuss a few of these stories, but if there are some that I've missed that you guys think deserve a quick mention, please go ahead.
For me, it was when 772 pitches isn't enough. It's about the impossibly high stakes odds for scholastic pitchers in Japan.
And Glenn?
And I would have to say, you know, probably the first story in the book, which is by Paul Solitaroff, Gangster in the Huddle, which is this incredible takedown of Aaron Hernandez, the Patriots tight end, who's now imprisoned and facing charges for murder, and just kind of takes his life apart piece by piece and lets us know how it got there. And it's not a very pretty sight.
Christopher, in looking over the stories Glenn submitted for your consideration, did you ever find yourself thinking, well, yeah, but there aren't any straightforward sports stories in this pile?
I wasn't even aware of that until someone pointed it out to me afterwards. I think one of the comments on the book was, you know, where are the ice hockey stories? Or last year was a big soccer year. How come there aren't any soccer stories? And I'm actually looking at the table of contents now. I mean, it's like four stories in a row. Manti Te'o, The Matchmaker, Tomato Can Blues, and in Don King, right there, four stories in a row about con jobs. What Glenn does is he sends you this big pile of stories right around February or March when the weather's awful. So now you're paid to sit in front of a fire and just read these amazing stories. And all you do is you just create three piles, yes, no, maybe. And to me, there wasn't any thought of what the category was in terms of the sport. It was just what was a winner.
I have a candidate for most controversial story in this collection, and it isn't about a murderer or a con artist or a suicide. It's titled The Case Against High School Sports. Glenn, tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, that's by Amanda Ripley, and it was from The Atlantic, and it quite soberly, I think, sets out the case against high school sports and makes note of the fact that, you know, the United States is basically the only place on the planet where high schools and schools, in fact, are front and center for youth sports. And it discusses the costs of that. And I think that's something that, you know, a lot of schools face every year. My wife is a teacher. I know at her school, budgets are an issue. And, you know, one of the things that we discuss around the house is, you know, my gosh, how much do they spend on sports as opposed to everything else? Whereas in other countries, sports are done on a club basis. Mm-hmm. They're done more independently. They're not this lodestone that's attached to the schools, often at high financial cost, and often forcing schools to do things that schools really aren't set up to do.
Christopher, at the end of your introduction to this volume, you advise readers as follows. Strap in. You have no idea what you're about to discover. Did you offer that advice because you were surprised at what you discovered when you started going through what Glenn had sent you?
I think if someone had given me a synopsis of these stories, I wouldn't have thought I would have picked any of them. One-legged wrestler. No, thanks. I don't think so. Why schools shouldn't have sports? No, thanks. But surfing, no. You know, all the things I'm not interested in. If golf disappeared from planet Earth tomorrow, I wouldn't blink. I couldn't care less. But there was this amazing book called To the Links Land about golf, and I devoured that book. And I was in love with golf, even though I've never hit a ball in my life. That's what these stories are like. I know nothing about wrestling. I was utterly captivated by this story. And that's what was so cool, was when these writers take you to a place that they know and you don't, and they make you understand why they're so fascinated.
Christopher McDougall is the author of Born to Run and the upcoming Natural Born Heroes. He's also the guest editor for the Best American Sports Writing 2014. Christopher, thanks for speaking with me.
I love it, Bill. Thanks a lot.
And Glenn Stout is the series editor for the book, now in its 24th year. Glenn, always a pleasure.
Thanks again, Bill.
To read my review of Best American Sports Writing 2014 and to learn how it would be impossible for this year's guest editor or any guest editor to compile stories as effectively as did the 1998 guest editor, please book it on over to onlyagame.org.